And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's a beautiful morning.
Dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It's a beautiful morning, and you know what? Every Tuesday at this time, we get to have fun with Mike Wiggins, who is the host of The Garden Line. Hey, Mike.
It's great to be here.
Yeah.
What an appropriate song.
Yeah, you got to have the uplifting, good feeling songs.
Absolutely, because it is a beautiful day.
It's going to be a low 70s, partly cloudy.
Absolutely.
Gorgeous day.
You know, and this is a good time.
I mean, it's January.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And we're going to go through some of the things to do garden-wise in January.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on a day like this would be a great day to take a stroll on the beach.
Oh, for sure.
There's nobody there, no mm-hmm. tourists, you know, which we love our tourists, but it's not the time of year for that. And just go out and stroll on the beach. It would just be great.
The water right now is so gorgeous because there hasn't been any kind of disruption. So it's just crystal clear. So you can see manatees out there and the rays and just all the different things you might not normally see.
Right.
And it's just beautiful. Some of the photography that I've seen on Facebook, we have some local photographers that have been doing the sunrises and sunsets. Mike, the colors are just unbelievable.
I go to a very early morning meeting on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be there by 6:15, 6:30.
That's early.
It is. But it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's breakfast. Anyway, point is, as I drive down Scenic Highway, the Friday sunrise was like none I had ever seen.
Oh, wow.
It was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
It really was.
Well, you know, that's why I love living here, because you can take those moments. I talked about it yesterday, getting back to work, Mike, and people going back to work. The kids are going back to school today, so the parents are probably just stressed out trying to adjust the schedules back, you know, getting back into the routine.
Exactly.
So anything you can do to breathe, relax, I talked about just step outside for a minute, take a little walk. But being here, living here, drive out to the beach on your lunch break.
Oh, no doubt about
it. Just if you sit in your car and look at the water.
And if you can't, I was going to say, if you can't do that, along Scenic Highway, you know, I'm going to say this. I hope I'm right. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. The Boy Scouts put out benches.
I love those.
Along Scenic Highway. And, of course, like on that Friday where it was just unbelievable, almost every bench had somebody who had pulled the car up. They had a cup of coffee sitting there. Taking a look at it, enjoying it.
You see folks at sunset, too.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
you exactly really right. do, because the sunsets are beautiful, too. So
how about that?
Breathe. Great. There's a lot going on.
no doubt about that. I thought what we would do today is kind of continue what we started last week, whereas, you know, there are some things to do in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
We don't normally think about this in the winter, and some you may not want to do, and some are so obvious. Now, you probably don't need to mention them, but we're going to mention them anyway.
For people like me.
We're going to go from there. But in any event, it really is a good time of the year to get ready to plan. I think that was the first thing we talked about last week. Go to your child's backpack and steal some graph paper.
Mm-hmm. Steal a notebook.
Do they still have graph paper? I'm sure they do.
Probably.
I don't know.
But
anyway,
so much.
Something where you can go out and draw. Your flower beds.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you know what you've had the last couple of years. You may really like some of it. You may want to change it. And so kind of draw it all out so when spring comes, you're ready to roll. So that's the first thing you do insofar as the planning is concerned. And also, you really need to plan by taking that soil test. Boy, we talk about that all the time. But there's so many plants that react better to an acid soil than a neutral soil. So you need to know. You need to know what the acidity of your soil is. It's just some simple numbers. If you get back on your soil test says the acidity is 6, or the pH, rather, not the acidity, but the pH is 6, that's kind of a neutral. That's okay. If it's below 6, that means your soil is very acid. And then you can look at some plants that love acidity. Azaleas, camellias, blueberries, those type of things. And I always say one reason we have Bellingraph Gardens over in Mobile is they have the same type of soil we do, which is very acid, and that's why it is so beautiful.
Interesting. Because those I never thought about that.
Yeah, those plants really adapt to that acidity in the soil. And if you have, say, St. Augustine grass, which likes a 6, we had that number 6, remember, a little over 6, what do? You sweeten the soil. You put out lime. And so lime, dolomite limestone, which takes that pH up, whereas St. Augustine can take in the nutrients that you put on when you put your fertilizer on. So those are just some things that we can do here in January, February, before we really want to go out to start planting our marigolds and petunias and that type of thing.
Okay. If you have a question for Mike, that's what this show is all about. He's going to be here till 10, so we have a lot of time. You can text it in at 850-437-1620. And Mike, we've already got a question this morning right off the bat.
Great. What's up?
So this question says, we just moved to a new home. My peach tree is in bud. Is it too early for that? It has survived our cold snaps and is an established tree.
Oh, I think you're okay.
Yeah.
I think you're man. Now, I say so. A peach tree, for example, there are many varieties of peach trees. Some will take more cold than others. And the term used with all of that analysis is chilly hours. A good example is apple trees.
Okay.
Now, you go to Publix and buy a big, red, delicious apple. They're wonderful, but you can't grow them here. They need much more chilling hours, which is temperatures down close to freezing. Okay. But you can always plant what they call an Einsheimer. That's an Israeli apple that can take less cold, and it will grow here.
Interesting.
And so you just have to pick your variety. And sometimes it gets complicated. Peaches, plums, pears, figs, and all those type of fruit trees, if you will, many have different requirements as far as chill hours are concerned. And it depends on the variety. So you need to do a lot of research before you pick one, because sometimes when you go to the garden center to buy a peach tree, it's got a tag on it that says, peach tree. You say, well, now, is this one going to work here in Pensacola, where we may not have the chill hours that you have, say, up in Georgia?
Well, I was just going to say, Georgia is the peach state.
Exactly.
So that's because of the chilling factors,
exactly.
What you're saying. Interesting.
Exactly right.
I never thought, because I always wondered, why don't we have peach trees here?
And it's the same for pruning. Pruning these fruit trees can be, maybe it's just because of me, can sometimes be complicated. Because sometimes you want to grow, prune a fruit tree in what they call a scaffolding type pruning, or an open, where it's kind of open in the middle. That's where you got to get the research and find out what to do.
All right. Our friend Paul from Blue Sky Landscaping.
Okay, Paul.
Just texted in, winter isn't over until the pecan trees leaf out.
Well, now, Paul has heard me say it 1,000 times on the air.
Uh-huh.
You know where we look, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We leave downtown. We head north on 110.
Uh-huh.
And about, maybe half a mile to a mile on the east side of the interstate, on the right-hand side heading north, are the pecan trees.
Mm-hmm.
When that grove of pecan trees puts on new growth, our chance of freezes are over.
Okay.
Paul is absolutely right. He is absolutely right. And then we can kind of get into so many of the things that we'll talk about in the spring, everything from tomato plants to pepper plants to begonias to marigolds. But for now, we can't do it. It's too cold.
All right. And for now, we got to take a break.
Oh,
so we're
going
to take a quick break with the garden line. If you've got a question, text it in, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. If you've got a question or comment for Mike, you can text it in at 850-437-1620. Talking a little bit about we're sort of kind of getting spoiled. It feels like spring today is the problem. It does not feel like January.
I thought you were going to say, here we are at during the break talking about football.
Oh, that too. And we were.
And we were.
Well, actually, Meg was talking about football. I think Mike was politely listening. He made the dreaded question. He said, how do you feel about the game?
Well, what we talked about and what I mentioned a minute ago, some of these trees will do better up in Georgia.
That's what opened the door.
Georgia Peach.
Uh-huh, there
no,
you go.
No doubt about it.
And for those who don't know, I'm a Georgia Bulldog from way back when. So what can
hey,
I
Meg,
say?
Meg. Yes, sir. We all know.
I know. Oh, do you?
Okay. Oh, yeah, we know. We know for sure. And be
oh,
proud of it.
Yep. That's, well, what can I say? What can I say?
All right, we were talking about the factors to consider and activities to accomplish during the winter.
Okay.
Okay, we talked about planting and soil tests and all that. One other thing on the climate suitability is, and this really, you know, with the internet, it makes it something a little bit easier. If you see a fruit tree, a citrus, if you will, and what you need to do is to Google it, if you will, to see what zone it can be planted in. We are in zone, sometimes some people say 8, some people say 9, in that range. That's just because the zones are put together by the Department of Agriculture all the way up to, over the whole country. But we're about 8 and 9. We're not quite tropical, obviously, mm-hmm. but we're not in the cold snow and, you know, below zero freezing. So look for the 8 and 9 as a zone which will be compatible with the tree or the plant, for that matter, that you want to plant. So as you do your planting, you might say, okay, I think I'm going to make a hedge of hibiscus along the front of my house because they're going to bloom and be so pretty. Well, are you sure you want to do that? Because this time of year, and as we get into February, it's just going to be a bundle of sticks.
Oh.
It's not going to be like you want it. Now, you can plant them. I mean, I plant them all the time. I love to put them in big pots or, you know, and enjoy them for the spring and summer. But you need to be sure that what you plant, and if you want a permanent plant that's going to produce, you need to be sure that zone is right. Absolutely.
Okay. We've got a couple questions coming in.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And a follow-up on our peach tree question. The person sent in and said it's a Red Haven peach tree.
I don't know Red Haven. There's so many varieties. I don't know a Red Haven. We probably need to get our research department.
That's right. We'll have to get them on it. Okay.
Red Haven.
Haven.
Red
yes, sir.
Haven.
All right. Okay. We got another question that came in. When can I start cutting back my hydrangeas for them to grow in the spring?
Well, don't do it. You should have probably already done cutting off some of that newer growth. They bloom on old wood, so you've got to be very careful how you prune hydrangeas. I, quite frankly, would maybe just give them a slight hand haircut and let it go. Let it go, because it's going to bloom on that old wood, which is different than a lot of other plants. So hydrangeas are very sensitive to when you prune them. And generally, in the fall is probably a good time to cut off some of that newer growth and let that old growth stay there. So what the biggest mistake you could make on a hydrangea would have a 3-foot hydrangea and then whack it down to,
okay.
to 1 foot.
Sounds like something I would
do. And it'd probably come back. It'd probably be beautiful foliage, but you're not going to get a lot of blooms on it.
Okay.
That. But it's a great plant. It's a plant that has gained in popularity over the years, and so many people grow them. And they're not hard to grow. You just got to watch when you prune them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good questions coming in. 850-437-1620. Okay, what else is on your list, sir, that we need to pay attention to?
Oh, I do have a couple more. Okay, this is our planning, you know, mm-hmm. factors we need to look at. And space and sunlight. That sounds like a no-brainer, but it is. It's so, so important. For example, if you're going to grow a turf grass, if you're going to grow zoysia, St. Augustine, Bermuda, centipede, makes no difference. Sunlight, you need as much as you can get. All turf grass likes full sun. Now, a lot of the talk in the industry is, well, St. Augustine prefers a little bit of shade. I don't buy that. I think your best place for St. Augustine grass is in the full sun. I've always told you, one of my favorite customers lives on Sabine Bay on Pensacola Beach. St. Augustine Crest, huge property, St. Augustine Crest. It is gorgeous. It's never seen a drop of shade in its life. But that's that's very important. It's like, okay, if I want to plant something that'll plant go into full sun, some of the sun patience are good. If you want something in the shade, plant some of your traditional impatiens. Mm-hmm. So you really have to look to know what sun shade is that you have so you can do proper planting.
Okay, very good advice. And again, if you've got a question, 850-437-1620. Listening to The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. We'll be right back. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Mike Wiggins and The Garden Line. And we've got a couple minutes left here before we head into the news, Mike. We had an email about an event coming up.
Exactly. The Pensacola Federation of Garden Clubs is having a event, whereas they were going to have speakers speaking about different subjects. I saw one, Beth Bowles, who's our county extension agent, is going to be speaking, and various other people with various topics. It's going to be February 12th, so you got a little bit of time to plan, to be ready for that. Registration, I think, cuts off, I want to say, February 1st.
That's correct, February 1st.
Exactly. So in the next couple of weeks, what we'll do, we'll be sure to remind everybody of that event, and talk a little bit about what topics they're going to be covering.
Oh, that's good.
They've always had good speakers, and I think also it's another benefit is lunch.
That's a good thing.
Food.
It's $25 to participate in the event.
Well and worth it.
Real quick, the registration forms are available at the Garden Center Facebook page or at PensacolaGardenCenter.com. And we want to thank Karen, who is the one that sent this information in to
Very
us.
Very good. Karen, thanks.
And we'll keep talking about it.
And we'll
it
keep
sure.
talking about this as we get closer because I think a lot of people are going to want to go to that.
That sounds like fun.
Absolutely.
And very informational, or educational is the word I'm looking for.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
Okay. Don't have just a minute. One more factor here to talk about, and that's pollination requirements. A lot of your plants need two different varieties of the same plant, if you will, to pollinate each other. I think blueberries kind of like to have two different varieties within close proximity of each other. So you need to look to see if what type of pollinator. If you go buy a scuppernong vine, for example, well, I know it needs another different type of scuppernong to be the pollinator. So that's really important because you don't want to go plant a whole hedge of a plant that really needs a pollinator and then not have any production. So that's very important. Mm-hmm. Very important, the pollinator. Oh, and last, one more thing, insofar as our factors to consider while we're planting, is this is important, the maintenance requirements. How much work is this particular plant or this particular grouping of plants going to take? Is it going to take a whole lot of spraying? We're going to talk about roses in a minute, which is a high maintenance plant to plant.
Yes, it is.
So you have to make that decision. Do I have the time and the energy to plant roses? Or do I have the time and energy to plant some of these plants that are subject to getting scale, which means I have to spray them with ultrafine oil every spring and fall? So those decisions. Or the other side of that coin, do I want to plant some muley grass, some ornamental grass, which really is very low maintenance?
There you go.
Or do I want to plant our favorite plant, the dwarf yaupon? You know the favorite, you know the words, the dwarf yaupon. My favorite, Ilex vomitoria.
There it is.
There you go.
There it
anyway,
is.
That's another plant that is very low maintenance that you may want to consider.
Okay. We've been talking with Mike Wiggins on The Garden Line this morning. He is our expert on the expert panel. And guess what? He's going to be with us for another half an hour. So we're going to take a break here for the news. And when we come back, get those questions ready and send them on in at 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Mike Wiggins is here, and he is ready to answer your questions. So if you have a gardening question or comment, text it in at 850-437-1620. We've got one here, Mike, that says, let's see, the company that sprays my lawn stops in November and starts again in February. Is it bad to leave that gap in spraying the lawn?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, that really fits right into the schedule that we've talked about right here on the Garden Line. Whereas in November, you want to get that pre-emergence weed control on your yard. Not fertilizer, the pre-emergence weed control. And then you wait 90 days to February, and then you do it again. And then you come back and fertilize later in the spring. So that schedule that our texter is talking about sounds like it's right way it should be done.
Well, that's reassuring.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you so much for texting that in. We've got another question for you. This comes from our friend Steve in Escambia Bay, who's a regular on the show. Good morning to you, Steve. It's great to hear from you, and Happy New Year. When is the best time to plant coleus bulbs?
Well, coleus plants is probably a better way to say that. I love coleus. They're the traditional coleus are basically a shade plant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a springtime deal. It's not cold hardy at all. Coleus are not cold hardy. But they don't have any blooms to speak of. It's the coloration of the foliage that you buy and plant your coleus for. But in the past, oh, help me here, Paul from Blue Sky has put some years on it, probably a couple, maybe a decade or so, we've had the sun coleus, which the traditional coleus are basically a shade plant, but the sun coleus are a coleus that loves the sun. And I always have to say it, I'm sorry, but the coloration on some of the sun coleus is garnet and gold.
Oh, okay.
So if you're a Seminole fan, that sun coleus, now you'll get different colorations, but the garnet and gold one is just gorgeous. But the point is, you don't want to plant them till after the last freeze, of course, when the pecan trees come out, like we talked about. And, but if you want the traditional ones, they're great in the shade, or the sun coleus are great in the sun. It's a good looking plant for Pensacola.
So when would you say is the best time to plant those?
Well, we have to determine when is the last, say, frost.
Okay.
Let's say April. Let's go into April and see, because we have got our little chart, if you remember, that tells us when we're going to have it. And if you recall, Meg, you and I have done this show long enough to know that we are always wrong.
Right.
Every time we are wrong. But we'll try again.
Yeah.
And see. But yeah, we need to get past the freezes and frost.
Was it January 10th that we had the snow last year? Is that right?
I think that's probably about right.
Right, about to be like sometime this next week.
Yeah.
So we'll wait and see, right?
You know, bring it on.
Yeah, okay.
Bring it on.
Oh, here you go. Here's a little comment from Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping. He says, the sanuculus can handle shade but loves the sun. Coleus cannot handle the sun. Generally, sun coleus have smaller leaves. Generally, the sun coleus have smaller leaves than coleus.
Right, yeah, but still a coleus, but it's
okay.
Yeah, it's just a variety
that
likes stuff. Thank you, Paul. Paul is on top of it. I'll tell you right now.
Appreciate you so much.
Oh boy, you better believe it. We appreciate it. And we got to get Paul back on the show sometime.
Absolutely.
Every time he comes on, we have a good time.
Yeah, he's very knowledgeable as well.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a guest on there that where we agree.
There you go.
Paul and Skip Fogelsang.
There you
with
go.
The Camellia Show. That's always. Very good. Okay, let's kind of skip down through our things that we need to do.
Right now, so we're talking January tasks.
January, February stuff. We talked about planting. That's enough of that. Bed preparation. I think that's critical. Because this, what many of us, me included, have got a couple of beds that still have some spring stuff that, for the most part, has died down.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to clean those beds out, get all the weeds and grass that's grown. Get that out of there. And then get some of your Canadian sphagnum peat moss. Put about a couple of inches of that over that area. Get some low nitrogen fertilizer. And put a little bit of that in that same bed. Probably a little bit of dolomite lime would probably work also. So there you go. And that way, once you rake it out, turn it under, and get all that mixed up with the sand that's there, because that's all we have. We don't have soil, we have sand. That's what you do. And that way you'll be ready to go for the spring when it is time to plant those coleus. Exactly.
Okay, great.
So that's really important. Okay, here's a couple more. Well, here's an easy one. You ready? Sharpen your lawnmower blade.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, and that sounds like, I might not.
That's, how do you do that exactly?
Well, you take it off and probably take it to somebody to do it. Oh, some okay. people could do it themselves. But the point is, if you've got St. Augustine grass and you are mowing it with a lawnmower blade that is not sharp, dull, if you will, the fungus will get into the grass because that blade is just ragging off the top of that blade of grass. So a sharp lawnmower blade is more important than you might think, especially in St. Augustine, which historically has got disease problems.
I would never think of that, Mike.
Yeah, you have to do that, no doubt about it. Okay, one more. You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Oh, here we go. Keep going here. Rake the lawn. Well, now, wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
You're laughing at me.
Sorry.
That's okay.
There's still some of those oak tree leaves
because we've had a couple of questions on
it. Yeah.
Should I get the leaves off the lawn? An answer is yes.
Okay.
No big hurry. You don't have to do it today. But you should rake the leaves off because it's a simple reason. You remember, those grasses like full sun. Even in the winter, they want full sun, even when they're dormant. So you got the leaves over your lawn. The sun can't get on it, and you could have some problems.
Interesting. I never thought about it that way.
So rake your leaves. Okay. Work on your sprinkler system.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one because invariably, over the summer and late summer, you'll have kids playing soccer in the front yard or just a lot of folks walking the dog and coming on your property, that type of thing, which is fine. That's great. But you really do need to check those sprinkler heads and be sure you're getting full coverage, because the worst thing you can have is a really great sprinkler system, but it's not getting the 100% coverage that you paid for, if you will. So get those heads fixed.
We've got a follow-up question on something we've been talking about. Who in town sharpens lawnmower blades? Do you know?
There used to be, I say used to be because I don't know if it's still there, over on Davis, a company called the Fix-It Shop. And they did it. Also, there's a kind of like a food truck, but there's a guy that sharpens things that sometimes comes over to the Apple Market.
Oh, okay.
I'd go in there and ask the folks at the Apple Market if that guy's going to come this spring. So he would sharpen pruners and those type of things, but also a lawnmower blade. So, yes, that's important to do that. Whether the Fix-It Shop is still around, I don't know, but I know they will do it.
Okay, great questions coming in. 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to The Garden Line. We are here with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. 850-437-1620. So many things to get ready now already. We've got to start planning.
Exactly. And I was just telling you, I got a second email from Jack.
Yes.
From Caladiums, Florida, down in Lake Placid. He apologized for sending a second email, but he says his computer was messing up. He just wanted to be sure we all got the message that he says they're going to run out of some of these bulbs, some of these varieties, and you need to go ahead and order them now. And if you order Caladiums from Jack, that's Caladiums, Florida. It's a great website. It has pictures of every one of them in living color.
Oh, wow.
It's really great. But if you're going to order them, you can, one, tell him when you want them, or he knows where we are, and he says, I'll send them when it's time to plant in Pensacola.
That's great.
So that makes that really easy for you.
So how would you get in touch with him?
I would go to his website called just Caladiums, Florida. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people look at that and say, oh, you mean Florida, Caladiums. No, it's Caladiums, Florida.
Okay.
And it'll take you right to him.
Okay, very good.
Right trip. And I think just real quick to talk about what you need to buy if you're going to buy something from Jack. There are really three types of caladium bulbs, and it all reflects the size of the bulb. There's a number two, which is about an inch and a half in diameter. I don't recommend it. It's too small. You're not going to get the results you want. The best one probably is the number one, which is 1.5 to 2.5 inches in diameter. It's a great one to plant in your flower beds and such as that. But then you've got jumbos, which are 2.5 to 3.5 inches. I have planted, I've got to say, a 16-inch pot and put one jumbo bulb in there, and it fills that pot. It really is a great bulb. They're a little bit more expensive, no question about it, but the jumbo bulbs are really, really fun. Now, we need to talk very quickly about what varieties you may want. So you're ready?
Yes.
I got pink, red, dwarf, and white.
Wow.
Okay, your pink ones are Carolyn Wharton. I can't say it. Carolyn Wharton.
Okay.
Fanny Munson.
I love these names.
I do too. There's got to be a story behind that one. Yeah, I just wonder what the backstory is on Fanny Munson and his caladium business. Probably Jack's relative.
Right.
Okay. Pink Beauty, which is my favorite of the pink ones. Okay, the red ones, this makes sense. Blaze, a Buck, Fire Chief, and here we go again, Frida Hempel.
Okay.
Okay, very good. The white ones, just two. Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, and Candidum, which is probably the basic white caladium bulb. That's the one I would plant. And then there's some dwarf ones that grow very small, really, really fun to put into a clay pot, if you will. Florida Fancy, Caladium or Candidum, the one we talked about, the white one. Mm-hmm. This is Candidum Junior, and then Miss Muffet, which is one most people plant. It's got a lot of spots on it. It's really, really cool. So that's what we've got. Now, one other thing about Jack and what he's selling up there is these elephant ears. And, of course, they're basic. This makes it oversimplified. Two different kinds of elephant ears. One is traditional one that kind of leans over, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is one that goes straight up. It goes straight up. And that's one, I'm going to say a Latin word here, Alocasia odora. So keep that, if you remember that, and you're ordering an elephant ear from Jack, that's the one I recommend. I've planted them both, and I'm not going to plant the traditional anymore. This one is great. It just got hit by the cold.
Interesting. So it lasts a long time then.
Well, a long time. So I'm just going to cut it back. It'll come back next spring. Okay, they sound expensive. They come in 7 to 8 inch circumference. That's a big one. For $7.95. Then 11 to 12 inch circumference, softball size, for $9.95. And then Jack has in his brochure 13 to 18 inch circumference. He just says that's a huge bulb.
Yeah, it is.
Now it does sound expensive, but if you plant maybe three, maybe four, and say a corner of your flower bed.
That'd be so pretty.
Oh, that would be so, so pretty. The Alocasia odora, the one that grows straight up, if you will, grew all the way up to the top of a 6-foot fence this year for me. And it really gives, if you want a little bit of a tropical look in your yard, that's what you do. Plant some of those. So, Caladiums, Florida. Jack is ready to go, but go to the website and look at it because it really has some great choices.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Welcome back to the Garden Line with Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Earlier, we were talking about sharpening blades, getting your
lawnmower blades.
Lawnmower
right.
blades sharpened. So we had a couple texts come in about that. Pawpaw, small engine repair, formerly Anderson's Equipment in Milton, Florida, does sharpen his blades. And then we had another listener that said, my robotic lawnmower has 6 razor-sharp blades on each cutting wheel, very easy to change. And he says, Mammotion Technologies is the one you want to use. Interesting.
That's great information.
Yeah,
I
very
think we
interesting.
All, I guess as we get older, we'll the robot mowing the lawn. sounds good to me.
Doesn't it though?
It really does. I would like to see one in action.
Right?
I really would. I don't know, and I wish we had more time to talk about it. I'm going to do a little research on it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
You've got Zoysia, which you would cut very low,
mm-hmm.
and we've got St. Augustine, which we cut very high. I'm assuming that the robot lawnmower will be
preset.
Adjustable.
Yeah, I would think so.
You can adjust it. I would certainly think so. And plus, well, this is a stupid question, but I'll ask it anyway. Okay, the robot, what keeps it from
mowing
the flower bed?
That'd be my first question.
Down all your petunias.
I'd be sitting there having my coffee, watching the robot mow down my roses.
That's a dumb question because I know it's not how it works. But
he says, come on over anytime. I'm happy to show you what I have in Gulf Breeze. How about
very
that?
Very good. All right. That's good. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have great listeners on the show and some regulars that we just love. And we got a lovely text here, Mike. Happy New Year and happy gardening from Catherine and David with a picture of fireworks.
There you go. Catherine, happy New Year to you. Catherine, I can't wait to talk to you about the Christmas present I received of the bird feeder with the camera.
That's what I gave to my one of my nephews.
Oh, and
he loves it.
And it works.
Isn't that amazing? I think that's the coolest gift this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was yesterday. I got a little ping on my phone and it said, there's a cardinal on the bird feeder.
So, that is the coolest thing.
And I look, and there's this big, look at him right in the eye. Exactly. The only problem is, mm-hmm. it's not a problem, but because you don't have to set it up this way, but when I set mine up with my grandchildren, they helped me do it.
Right.
It does ping every time there's a bird on the bird feeder.
Right. It could get very busy.
Exactly. So so I'm sitting in church.
Oh, that's so funny.
Ping. I said, whoops, I better put this on silent.
That's funny, yeah. Well, I told you the one that I found actually has a little siren on it. So when you see a squirrel on your bird feeder, you can hit the button and it goes, whoop, 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 and then the squirrel jumps off.
I've got it kind of set up where the squirrels can't get to it, but boy, they are looking at it.
Oh, I bet.
Longing look.
I bet.
They really are.
It'll be interesting
but
to see.
But it really has been fun. And I know Catherine does a lot of the bird watching, and she always sends us those Audubon books.
I love it. She drops off magazines and appreciate it so much.
Some of the best, most beautiful photography you ever want to see. So, Catherine, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. And again, if you didn't have your pencil and wanted to take some notes today, you can re-listen to this broadcast at newsradio923.com. Just go into podcast, look up The Garden Line, and every episode is there for you. So you can take notes at home and get ready to garden. We're almost there. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Meg. You're the best.
No, you're the best.
You're the best.